paging me through from the unit switchboard now.
What if she refuses to believe that it's you? I mean, what if she thinks you're an imposter?
Well, she has to take the call on the scrambled line, so she knows I've got high security clearance. And the security on her end will verify the origin of the call through the tracer system. Oh, by the way.
Yes?
As it is a scrambled line, the descrambler on the unit side of the call will make her voice sensible to us, but it will sound distorted.
Yes, I'm sure that sophisticated encryption is years off, but I promise not to laugh.
Hello, Professor Jensen. Lethbridge Stewart here.
Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart. You know, I know that the descramblers distort voices, but you sound like you're speaking to me from the middle of a meadow.
I am in the middle of a meadow, madam. I'm in an open car using a portable telephone. My lads at unit have taken the call and patched me through to you.
You are not going to try to rope me in for unit again, are you?
Not at all, Professor. We are quite satisfied with Professor Shaw.
How is Professor Shaw?
Bit busy right now. The thing is, we have a bit of an emergency.
Yes?
We need some background information.
You realize that I am bound by non-disclosure agreements, Brigadier.
Madam, I am a high-ranking officer with the United Nations.
I'm sorry, you must refer security-level questions to the British military authorities.
Professor Jensen, several people have been killed on or near the grounds of the TSRG facility. We believe it is related to events that occurred in London in 1963.
I cannot discuss that matter with you. I regret that I must keep secrets from you, Brigadier. I know you're a good man, but I am responsible to the British military. I must abide by their decisions for me in this matter.
Give it here, Brigadier. She may listen to a fellow scientist.
All right, you have a go. Take the receiver.
Hello, call me the doctor. Now look here. A number of people have been killed up here, with their insides most likely fused right inside them. All we want to know is this. Did you ever have any contact with the Daleks? And it won't harm British security one bit to just tell me yes or no. Because we think we may be dealing with Dalek weaponry and we've got to find out where it came from.
Doctor? You say you're called the Doctor?
Yes, you can just call me the Doctor.
If you are the Doctor, sir, you would already know the answer to any questions about the Coal Hill School.
Yes, I should know the answers, but I'm not quite myself. Actually, it's more accurate at this point to say that I wasn't quite myself when you met me in 1963. Not this particular self, anyway.
And what is that supposed to mean?
My dear lady, you will have to take my word for it, but I do know what Daleks are, and I know the danger they represent, not just for human beings, but for all the galaxy.
Yes, you sound more familiar, but I cannot discuss the Coal Hill School event, not even with you, if you are the Doctor.
My concern is not the encounter itself, but what happened after the encounter. If you encountered Daleks, surely you were not foolish enough to salvage anything from any wreckage that was left behind. But if you were, you must tell me. Otherwise, we will have to formulate a new theory on what's going on up here.
Did you think that any scientist would leave the debris of some super technology lying around, Doctor?
No, of course not, but why would you preserve anything so dangerous to human life?
I'm not saying one way or another. But I will remind you that any sophisticated technology, even if it is used in the context of war, can be taken apart, examined, and then put to peaceful uses.
So you did salvage the Dalek wreckage. And there was actual hardware, bits and pieces. You had to know it was a monstrosity. What right did you have to perform such calculations to understand that weaponry or attempt a reactivation analysis?
All of my work at any time has been in the interest of protecting the free world, Doctor, and I have always acted under the orders of my legal and rightful government authority.
The British government has acted foolishly, and you were foolish to allow any of it. Now we've got to undo things. Somehow, scientists here have gotten hold of it.
If you are who you claim to be, you should contact the British military, and from there, you could speak to Professor Allison Williams. Oh. She was charged with running the archive of classified research materials, but Professor Williams has been missing for some time, 15 months. She disappeared with some research hardware and its associated documentation. In fact, there are charges pending against her for some pieces that are missing.
I have no doubt that Allison Williams is dead, madam. She did not abscond with the information. It was stolen from her with the hardware, and she was removed. That way she could not point any fingers, and she would become the culprit herself. A nice piece of work.
Look, any research that I did pointed only to no good use of anything. I recommended that the Archive of Classified Research have a good cleaning out, and I created a list of items that I thought should be destroyed. I am sorry that my recommendations were not acted upon.
No, I know the British government couldn't have completed development of that technology, but others might try, and whatever the consequences from this point forward, if we recover that information and those circuits, we will destroy them. I don't care about the financial cost or the research loss. That technology must not find a foothold on Earth. I will not allow it, madam, and I am a Time Lord. I'll at least let you know, but I believe that Dr. Williams is dead. I'll be in touch. She's rung off. Here you are.
What in blazes was that all about?
Rachel Jensen and Allison Williams did assist the British military in 1963. Against an extraterrestrial invasion, as you had already surmised.
Who? What was that you called them?
Never mind, but the root cause of our troubles is that Jensen and her team recovered bits of the alien technology and actually started to figure out how it worked. I think she's smart enough to have figured out how to step up power delivery to energize the circuits that are able to transmit a slug of energy such as has been used here. She could not duplicate the circuit technology, but she could power it up.
The British government allowed such research.
To a point. From what she said, it sounds like either she or they put a stop to it when they realized there was no constructive uses for the technology. I don't think they could figure it out beyond how to power it up.
But then why do you think this Allison Williams is dead?
Are you forgetting Dr. Schepansky?
Dr. Schepansky was the clerk for Dr. Williams.
Yes, and once she was cleared of any involvement with the removal of the materials, Schepansky cleared off from there and turned up at TSRG. You already know about me, Liz Shaw. I'll beat a woman if it pleases me to do so, and I'll shoot anybody who slows me down or crosses me.
He never crossed you. Harry was loyal to you.
That wasn't personal, just business. Harry would have broken down before the end, want of nerve. But he got it from behind anyway, not like you, with a muzzle at your throat just so. At least he didn't see it coming. I can see your pulse ticking away in your neck, anticipating it. What's cold steel feel like in the hollow of your throat, Professor? They ever tell you about that at university?
No.
You haven't blinked yet. Afraid you'll miss something.
You've got my attention.
Go on, it won't be as bad if you close your eyes for it.
No.
More afraid to close them, like that'll make it happen faster.
Maybe.
You can't even swallow, can you? I'm not even pushing into your throat. But you can't swallow your own spit. What will you do to convince me to let you live?
What do you want?
Shall I tell you what I want from you? Say it all and let you decide to let me kill you or let me have my way. Spell it all out for you. The whole process of what I'm going to do to you.
I'm sure describing it makes you feel powerful.
Steady now, don't antagonize me. You want to live, don't you? You'd do anything I say, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Now that's better. That university paper isn't worth much out here, is it? But I think I have everything I want. I've no use for you.
Don't do it!
Empty gun, love. You're shaking. Let me hold you tight.
Oh, you're all wet, perspiring out here. Are you too hot in that coat?
Looks like you've been saved by the bell, so to speak. I'll just hold you close and set the gun down while I answer this.
Hawthorne here. Yes, I've got her and she's safe. It got messy. There was a bit of a rebellion in the group with me and I had to put it down. The hard way. There's three bodies out here. And the van. No, she's the only witness. All right, I understand. She's got one gash on her forehead from hitting the dash when the army lorry crashed. There's a bit of a bruise on her face, not bad. No, nothing else. All right. She'll be glad. She didn't like it so far. We don't get on well. Out.
Sorry for the interruption. This little radio's handy most times, but it does interrupt things. I'll slip it back in my coat. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. What am I going to do with you?
Well, there's others that want you even more than I do. Alive and not bruised. Not very bruised, anyway. Now, that gash on your forehead... Oh, you don't want it touched, do you? Hurts, I imagine. Looks like Rafe or George cleaned it for you. Good Christian men, the both of them. But no, that gash couldn't be helped. Can't be hidden, either. But it's from the lorry. Shall I kiss it for you, my dear? Now, look at that lovely bit of bruise on your cheek. Oh, I did that, but it might pass as being from the lorry as well. But that's my mark on you. You won't forget me soon, will you?
You like hitting women, don't you?
I like hitting women. I like strangling women. I like shooting women, young or old, plain or pretty. It's all the same to me. Women. But in the end, when you see what's waiting for you, you'll wish I'd gotten you first and taken care of things out here. Yes, you, Professor Liz Shaw of Cambridge. And I'll get to watch. But now, let's get this coat off you.
I thought you said you couldn't hurt me.
Oh, this just to tie you up, that chain. This rope here's got a nice vinyl polish on it. Won't make bruises, no matter how tight I tie you. Here we go, then. It's easier when they fight. There you are, all wrapped up, and don't even know how I can move so quick with your movements. You won't be any trouble now, all trussed up like a chicken going to market. Just needs a bit of knife work. Oh, not to worry, Professor. Just sawing off the extra length. Wouldn't want you to contrive some way to strangle yourself. No, this is just to hold you so I can drive. I'm under orders about you. No bruises, no marks of any kind. Up you come. Light as a feather you are, and in you go. Enjoy the ride. You have the whole place to yourself. Now, what about Liz? The doctor asked.
Whoever took her also took the RT from the truck. There's just a chance they'll try to use it, and then we can home in on them.
That's not much hope.
Doctor, if you have any suggestions on finding her, I am extremely ready to hear them. Otherwise, I've got the crew investigating the wreck back there, assigned to track her down. It's the best I can do.
The doctor navigated them over the bumpy ground and onto the narrow road. As they sped towards TSRG, he reached into his pocket and passed several polyurethane bags to the Brigadier. Here's all the evidence we need about the weapon that they're testing.
This looks like mere dirt.
The Brigadier opened one of the bags and stirred his finger through the materials inside.
Dirt with jagged edges like crystals.
That's what you get when one of those energy slugs hits something with the density of Earth, the doctor said. But there are the remains of a field mouse in one of the bags, with bits of grass fused right into him. The Brigadier searched the bags and then withdrew a shapeless mat of fur and dried entrails, embedded with leathery fibers of grass. One fragile ear was still discernible, and a single, minuscule and skeletal paw erupted from the matted fur.
That was a mouse?
Just about turned inside out. The energy bolts aren't fine-tuned for different masses. When a slug hit the earth, where the mouse was nosing about, it liquefied and re-solidified the mouse right into the dirt and grass. Lethbridge Stewart dropped the mouse into the bag and sealed it up.
So that's our proof. But why were they shooting into earth or at field mice?
They were shooting at hogs. I think the target practice on humans got to be too dangerous, so they settled on hogs.
Hogs?
Hogs have about the same mass as humans and share many metabolic similarities, Brigadier. And in acute danger, they react with appreciable similarities in intelligence, decisions to dodge, and the choice to flee or use aggression.
But the people were killed as they approached the fence. There were scorch marks alongside some of the bodies in an unbroken line from the corpse right through patches of grass. I can understand that the hogs were deliberately used for target practice. But the people must have been fired on because they came too close.
Maybe. But the doctor did not sound convinced. Or it was done to make it look that way. You know, there is one difference between humans and hogs. You can lie to humans, and in the right conditions, they'll believe you every time.